us to keep our hearts for our Lord. Amen. Well done. Let's take our Bibles, please. If you have a copy of God's Word, and turn to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 19. I'd like to address the issue of prayer this morning, 2 Kings chapter 19. I'd like for us to note an example of the power of prayer. The title of my sermon this morning is A Powerful Prayer Life. A Powerful Prayer Life. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 32, please, to 35. We'll read verses 32 to 35. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 32. It reads, "Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would prepare our hearts for your word at this time. Holy Spirit, lead us into truth, we do pray, and I ask that you would glorify the Lord Jesus. In his name we do ask, amen. Verse 36 goes on to read, "So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh." Hezekiah is the king of Judah at this time, and he finds himself and his people confronted by an Assyrian army. They are positioned to attack Jerusalem, and back in verse number 14, Hezekiah receives a notice of intention by letter. Now, how did Hezekiah deal with this problem? Well, he went to prayer. And he pleaded before God for deliverance. From verses 14 down to verse number 19, we have Hezekiah's prayer, asking that God would perform a miracle and deliver his people from the hand of the Assyrians. Well, what was the result? Well, we just read from verses 32 to 35, God answered Hezekiah's prayer. God destroyed the Assyrians. In fact, the Bible teaches us that single-handed, the angel of the Lord came through and smote 185,000 men. This is one of the great examples in the Bible of the power of prayer. And we see that in the early hours of the morning, as Sennacherib arose to lead his people in attacking Jerusalem, all around him were all of these dead corpses, 185,000 of them. And wisely, he packed his bag and went back home. God answered the prayer of Hezekiah. The power of prayer is evident within this example. Beside the Word of God, prayer is our most powerful weapon against the forces of evil. And I'd like for us to address the issue of ineffective prayer this morning. Hezekiah prayed at one point, and as a result, God intervened single-handedly and defeated the enemy, the Assyrian army. in a miraculous fashion. And Hezekiah's men did not have to do a thing. God did it all. But Hezekiah did pray. And I believe that's the missing link. So instead of addressing the issue of prayerlessness this morning, I'd like to address the issue of ineffective prayer. Why do we go through the motions of prayer with very little effect? See, answers to our prayers encourage us to pray more so, do they not? If we don't see or witness answers to our prayers, we find that it is draining. It drains the desire to pray further. But when you and I experience God answering our prayers, there is something energizing about that that encourages us to pray further. Let me ask you this morning, is your prayer life effective? If it is not, let's ask the hard question, what is hindering your prayers from being answered? I'd like to draw the analogy of riding a bicycle this morning, hopping onto a bike and pushing forward, but yet with very little progress. I'd like for us to draw the analogy that I think sometimes we push forward in our prayer life. In other words, we are seemingly covering distance. We are in prayer, but it seems like, and it's evident really, that there is very little progress. We're going through the motions, we're seated in the right place, and we're pedaling as fast as we can, but yet we are finding that we are covering very little distance, and it seems to be awfully hard. Let's consider some of the destinies, for a better word, that should be reached when you and I pray effectively. What sort of distance will we travel? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 33, please, for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 1 to 3. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Note verse number 3, please. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If we are pushing forward in our prayer life, and if our prayer life is effective, and we're covering a measure of distance, then we should reach this destiny. And that is God doing above and beyond that which is expected in and through our prayers. And that's what was evident in the life of Hezekiah. I don't imagine that Hezekiah envisioned God taking care of that Assyrian army single-handed. What do you think? Maybe you and I could imagine Hezekiah thinking that maybe God will provide deliverance via giving God's people an extra measure of courage and strength to combat against the Assyrians. But I don't think in Hezekiah's wildest imagination did he ever consider the fact that God was going to appear during the evening hours via an angel and slaughter single-handedly 185 men. So God did above and beyond that which Hezekiah would have expected. I have no doubt about that. And when you and I are praying effectively, we will experience the fact that as we pray, God goes beyond answering our prayers. God does beyond that which we expect. That's the type of prayer life God offers you. That's the type of prayer life God offers me. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Hang on, it doesn't stop there. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's an effective prayer life. That's a prayer life that's making some progress, covering some distance. That's a prayer life that's reaching a destiny, the destiny of God doing above and beyond that which we expect. 1 John chapter 5, please. Let's note another destiny concerning effective prayer. 1 John chapter 5, please. Verses 13 to 15. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I like that word know, do you not? That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. God answering according to His will. That should be another destiny that you and I should be reaching within an effective prayer life. Not only God doing above and beyond that which we expect, but secondly, God answering according to His will. God answering our prayers according to His specific will outlined in the Word of God. For example, praying for a loved one, praying for their salvation. We know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we pray within the will of God for the salvation of our loved ones, for example. And when you and I are praying effectively, then God will answer that prayer. That's effective prayer. In John chapter 15, verses 7 to 11, God answers prayer. And one of the marks of answered prayer there in John chapter 15, verses 7 to 11, the Bible makes reference to bearing fruit, being fruitful, and having our heart filled with a greater measure of God's love and God's joy. So also in John chapter 15, verses 7 to 11, if you and I are praying effectively, we will experience fruitfulness. We will have a greater measure of God's love for the Lord, but also there will be a greater measure of God's joy. Joy to the full. That's effective prayer. Effective prayer leads to fullness of joy. And fourthly this morning, let's go to Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Effective prayer. If we're praying effectively, then we will see God do above and beyond that which we expect, number one. Secondly, we will see God answer prayer according to His will. Thirdly, we will see God answer prayer that leads to fruitfulness, a greater love for the Lord, and fullness of joy. And here in Acts chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. We see within these verses the evidence of God's power. The power of God evident in the lives of God's servants. If we are praying effectively, then there will be the evidence of God's power. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible teaches us that we have received the Holy Spirit of power that we might be witnesses. Effective witnesses, may I say. And when you and I are praying effectively, we will have the evidence of God's power upon our lives. For example, within the context of witnessing, within the context of living a victorious Christian life, within the context of speaking wise words. The power of God. Fruitfulness, a greater love for the Lord, a fullness of joy, God answering our prayers according to His will, and God doing above and beyond that which we might imagine, that is effective prayer. And if you and I are covering some distance in our prayer life, we should be reaching these destinies. Now, these are not all of the destinies, but these are just some of those destinies that you and I should be reaching if we are praying effectively. But the question must be asked, why is it that for many of God's people, they are not reaching such destinies? Well, if you're on a push bike and you are pedaling away as hard as you can and you are finding that it's a little bit tough to pedal and you're finding that you might not be progressing as you wish, you might want to look down and you might note that you might have a problem called a puncture. You might have some flat tires. Many Christians are riding hard, turning those pedals over and over, but they're making very little progress. Let me ask you, what holes are there in your prayer life? We're pedaling hard, but yet it doesn't seem like we're making much progress. It's a blessed reality to look down and note, well, I can see why I'm not making much progress. And I can see why it's hard to tell. I've got some holes in my tires that need to be repaired. And as you pull that tire apart, so to speak, and you pull that tube out, you note that there is more than one hole. Nothing more discouraging. It's one thing to find one hole in a tube, but it's another to find a whole bunch of holes in a tube. And I'm afraid that if the truth be known, brethren, that many of God's people are not effective in their prayers, they're sincere, and they are going through the motions of prayer, and maybe this is you this morning, but unfortunately we're going through the motions, but we're not seeing the evidence. We're not reaching destiny. We're not seeing God do above and beyond that which we expect. We're not seeing God answer according to His word. We're not seeing God manifest His power. We're not seeing the evidence of fruitfulness. We're not seeing the evidence and the passion of love for God more so. And we're not filled with God's fullness of joy. Could it well be that we have some punctures in our prayer life? Now, the place to start in repairing a puncture is to find the puncture. That's a job in itself. They're usually very minute, very small, but I tell you what, that little hole has great effect negatively. So we need to find the holes. Now, let me just give you some possible spiritual punctures that might be evident in our lives that might be hindering us from having an effective prayer life. May I submit to you this morning, my friend, that God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to answer your prayers. God is not some ogre up there in glory with his big stick, with his hands on his hips, critically looking down upon you and I, trying to decide, will I or will I not answer the prayers of my people? No, God is there with open arms. inviting you and I to pray, and God wants to answer our prayers. We have a God who loves us and wants to give us what we ask of Him, provided it's in harmony with His will. Let's note some possible punctures within our prayer life. The first one I'd like for us to note this morning is what I call worrisome thoughts. Worrisome thoughts. Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Worrisome thoughts. This might be puncturing your prayer life. This might be the very hole that's holding you back from reaching that destiny. Philippians 4:6, the Bible teaches us, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Note here in verse 6, there is a contrast between prayer and anxiety. They don't mix. They're at opposite ends of the stick. So God tells us in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Literally, God is saying, stop worrying. Stop it. Do you hear me? Stop it. Now, God tells us to stop worrying, so that implies that I can choose to stop worrying. Now, what is God's remedy that will enable you and I to stop worrying? Well, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. See? Worrisome thoughts puncture our prayer life. This is the absence of faith in the Lord. It drains spiritual virtue. It will eventually exhaust you physically as well. Just like it takes more effort to frown and to be sad than to simply smile, it will drain you of greater virtue to worry. And God tells us, be anxious for nothing, but be in prayer. In other words, choose to stop worrying. And whenever you feel like worrying about an issue, go to prayer. Go to prayer. That's God's remedy. Pastor, is it that simple? Yes, it is. But see, what we often do is that we just drown in our worry, and we're just anxious, and we spend all of this virtue worrying about a situation, and God is there wanting you and I to cast our cares upon Him, because He cares for us. Worrisome thoughts puncture our prayer life. Also, vain thoughts puncture a prayer life. Vain thoughts. Jeremiah chapter 4, please. Let's go back to Jeremiah quickly. Vain thoughts. Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 14. Note what God said to His people here. Jeremiah 4:14. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Let me ask you this morning, how long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Mindsets that have no spiritual value. This will puncture your prayer life. Yes, it will. Worldliness, the entertainment industry, all of this negative news, being obsessed with sport, this is all vain, brethren. It has no spiritual value, and it will zap you of power with God. And God said to His people, how long will you entertain these vain thoughts? But instead, we need to be filling our minds with the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that we are to gird up, to belt up the loins of our mind. We need to keep our minds focused upon that which glorifies His name. And let me ask you, my friend, is your mind full of vain thoughts?
There you go. There's a puncture right there. That puncture will drain your spiritual virtue. It will affect your prayer life. Philippians 4:8 tells us what we should think upon. Vain thoughts, worrisome thoughts, sinful thoughts. Psalm 139, please. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Punctures in our prayer life. Worrisome thoughts. God's remedy to worry is prayer. Vain thoughts, replacing those vain thoughts with spiritual thoughts. And thirdly, sinful thoughts also puncture our prayer life. If there is sin in your mind, it will affect your prayer. The sin of lust, the sin of criticalness, the sin of anger, the sin of unforgiveness, the sin of jealousy. We could go on and on. But may God give us the humility to pray this prayer as the psalmist did, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts. Reveal any wicked way that might be in me." There might be some sinful thoughts, brethren, in your mind, in your mind and in my mind that's puncturing our prayer life. And that's why we're not seeing God do great things. And we think God can bless that. No, He cannot. No! If there's a puncture in your tire, it needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed. Sinful thoughts, vain thoughts, worrisome thoughts, proud thoughts. Isaiah 14 gives us a record of Lucifer's fall. And we note the five I wills in the heart of Lucifer, which conveyed self-sufficiency and self-glory. Proud thoughts. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life, the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 22:4. In James 4:10 tells us, humble thyself before God and God will lift you up. Are there proud thoughts in your mind, in my mind, thoughts of self-glory, seeking self-glory, thoughts of self-sufficiency, dependence upon self, my friend? This will puncture your prayer life. And last but not least, what about preoccupying thoughts? What I call preoccupying thoughts. In Luke chapter 10, please, the example of Martha. Martha's mind was overwhelmed with many, many concerns that kept her from the priority of worship. Here in Luke chapter 10, note verse 41, Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. See, Martha was preoccupied. Had all of these concerns in her mind. But the Lord Jesus went on to say, but Martha, one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. See, Martha's mind was overwhelmed with many, many concerns. No doubt many of those concerns were legitimate. But the problem was these concerns distracted her from the priority of worship. And my friend, it would seem evident to me that many of God's people are not praying effectively because their minds are just preoccupied. In Matthew chapter 13, the Bible makes reference to the cares of this world that choke out the effect of God's word upon our hearts. And these preoccupying thoughts could be within the realm of family needs, work needs, study needs, financial pressures, a relationship, a problem, a sickness. I don't know what it is, but preoccupying thoughts will puncture your prayer life. God's answer is found in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And what about 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Preoccupying thoughts, where our minds are consumed with our own cares. They might be legitimate cares, but as the Lord Jesus said to Martha of old, Martha, Martha, everything is out of perspective here. What Mary has chosen to do, that should be number one. You're concerned about many issues, Martha, but one thing is needful. Preoccupying thoughts, brethren, will puncture our prayer life. See, if you want to repair a puncture in a tire tube, you've got to locate the hole first and foremost. Now, this is not easy. Usually the hole is very small and it's difficult to find, especially for those of us that need glasses for close-up work. It's still very difficult to find that hole. One trick is to apply as much air as possible into that tire tube. Then take that tire tube and send it for a bit of a swim under a pool of water. And as you gently take that tire tube with a measure of air in it through the waters, you will find that little bubbles will come to the surface. Ha ha! You found the hole! Those air bubbles, those pockets of air are coming to the surface. There's your first hole. And as you continue to move that tire around, oh, all of a sudden you've got bubbles coming out of here, you've got bubbles coming out of here, you've got bubbles coming out of here. See? That's how you can find holes in your tire tube. Send that tube full of air underwater. Immerse it. Turn it into a Baptist. Yeah. And may I submit to you, my friend, our lives need to go through the water of God's Word. And just like that water reveals where the holes are in that tire, the water of the Word of God will reveal to you and will reveal to me where the holes are. See? Nice little analogy, I think. Water is a great help in locating a tube puncture. The water of God's Word more so is able to pinpoint the punctures in your prayer life. The water of the Word will not only locate those holes, but it will show you how to repair those holes. So let me encourage you to patch those holes up. Patch up those punctures in your prayer life. Let me close with 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let me ask you this morning, do you have some preoccupying thoughts that are draining your prayer life from being effective? Are there some proud thoughts, some sinful thoughts, some vain, worthless thoughts, or maybe some worrisome thoughts? The Bible teaches us that we have to cast down these imaginations. We cast these imaginations and these thoughts down with the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And if you find that your mind has been dominated by a worrisome thought, you can cast that down with the water of the Word. The Word of God. Why doesn't the average Christian see answers to prayer like Hezekiah of old? Could it well be that there are some punctures in our prayer life? Worry, vanity, sin, pride, preoccupation. But we're going through the motions of prayer, but our minds are preoccupied. Brethren, God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to do great things in your life. God wants to manifest His power in your life. God wants you to have His fullness in your life. God wants you to be fruitful. God wants to bless you, brethren. Yes, He does. To be a prayerless saint is one thing. To have an unproductive prayer life, I think, is even sadder. Because we're going through the motions, little effect. Let's locate the holes. Let's patch them up. That we likewise might see God answer above and beyond that which we could ever imagine. Do you really think Hezekiah could have ever have imagined the slaughter of those 185,000 men overnight? I don't think he would have imagined that scenario. And brethren, God wants to do something special in your life. Why go through the motions of prayer with little effect? Don't be content with just going through the motions of prayer with little effect. I don't know about you, I want to have an effective prayer life. What about you? Okay. We all want to have an effective prayer life? We all want to have an effective prayer life? Patch the holes up. Ask God to reveal the holes in your prayer life. Let's patch them up. And let's see God do some great things. And all of God's people said, let's be upstanding, please.